Welcome to Founders Future, a podcast powered by Closers.io, where we dive into the journeys of innovative entrepreneurs and explore the road ahead of them and their company. I'm your host, Olivia Sammons, and in each episode, we'll uncover the stories behind impactful ventures, the challenges faced along the way, and the strategies driving their future growth. Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Sarah Jensen, founder of Her Big Leap, a coaching and transformational brand dedicated to helping women leaders expand their confidence, identity, income, and impact. Sarah's work centers on helping ambitious professionals cross the threshold that currently limits them, not just by chance, but through intentional identity work, strategic action frameworks, and high performance thinking. Sarah, welcome to Founders Future. Thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thanks so much for having me, Olivia. This is great.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and I'm very much excited to dive in and learn a little bit more about your journey. So, Sarah, with all of my guests, I do actually like to start at the beginning. So, if you don't mind briefly taking me back to what it was you were doing before you started up Her Big Leap, and then from there, what was the motivation behind it?
Great question. Okay, so I fell into sales and marketing at 24. That
Love it.
was where I started. I started in pharmaceuticals. Which was not by intention. It was not by design. I literally fell into it. And I started in sales, and I just didn't love sales to begin with. And so, being the backstory, which is relevant to my brand, I was the girl who got good grades, went to a good school, got a good job, and then, if I work really hard, then everything will be a success. So when I didn't love my first job, my first inclination was not to quit. It was to work harder to get to the next rung and the next level of marketing, which I did enjoy. So I did the opposite of most people. And that was my job for 10 years. I climbed the corporate ladder in sales and marketing in Fortune 500 companies until I got to my mid-30s. And I was like, is this all there is? And I say all that as a throwaway comment, but I had been, for every promotion, I had to move it to a different city. So my social life was kind of crap because I was just dedicated to my work. My health was falling apart. I was completely burnt out, although that wasn't really a buzzword 12 years ago. But my health was falling apart and my relationships were horrible. And so I was really at this crux in my life where I'm like, I can't stay here. Like, corporate was literally draining everything from me. I wasn't happy. And so I knew I needed to. I just didn't know what that was what I was doing before this.
Yeah, and I feel there's so many people in a very similar situation too. I don't know, and as you say, a while ago, even burnout wasn't a buzzword. So I don't know, maybe it's throughout COVID, a lot of people started highlighting, as you say, is this all I'm getting out of life, jumping from those promotions to promotions. So with that being said as well, did you always have kind of a maybe burn-in sensation to be an entrepreneur, or is it something that you just naturally was like, no, this is my next step and I'm going to take it?
So it's really funny you should ask that because I remember distinctly being in high school and having to decide what my major was going to be in
Like many.
post-secondary, like college, university. And I remember going to my guidance counselor being like, I don't know what I should do. And I did get really good marks in high school because I was, that good girl, get good marks, study hard. And he looked at me, and I'll never forget this because I look back and I'm like, it was the worst advice. He said, well, you're too smart to go into business. And I think you should, because you're good at math and science, I think you should do this. And I did some version of that. I got a biochemistry degree. So, but I'm saying all of this, like, I was not that entrepreneur type, like, from the get-go. I think I came to that realization once I started working for people, and I had some great bosses. And I had some bosses that I'm like, I could do a better job than this. Like, what am I doing here reporting to this? Why am I waiting for someone else to determine my destiny or my career path? And I think it was more mid-career, like in my once I hit 30, I was like, oh, I could be doing this on my own. And that's when it really started.
Yeah, that's when that clarity. And I also feel like sometimes, like maybe a little bit in your story as well, you've been kind of shuffled into that version of societal success when it's like, yeah,
Yes.
you're not kind of, you're too clever for this, but you're not going to live. So this is the path that you should be taking. But
That's it.
naturally, you should be following your own path. And it's just providing that clarity and thought to people as well that gives them a little bit of confidence to just move on to the next step.
100%. And on paper, I was living the life. Like, I had the first class trips to Europe, a few times a year for conferences. I had the expense account, the company car. Like, on paper, I'd made it. And yet, in my personal life, it was crumbling. And that's really hard to reconcile when you're telling your parents or your family, oh, this isn't it, and they're like, what do you mean? You've made
Got it
it.
all. Yeah. And as you say, on paper or from the outside world, you do look like you've made it, you've got it all, you've jumped that ladder, you're at the top of where you can be. But if that doesn't satisfy you, you'll always be chasing something that you don't actually want. So
That's
let's
it.
dive into her big leap a little bit more, just so the listeners can have some context moving forward.
Sure.
So, Sarah, at this point in, who would you say like is your ideal client? Like, who do you very, very much love to work with the most? And then from there, how would you help them and how do you support them along their own journey?
Okay, well, that's three questions in one, Olivia. I might need you to
Three
answer, ask me
loaded.
again the second and third. But we work with primarily women who are over 40, women who have been in corporate for at least 10 years. They have the skill set, the experience, the expertise that we then help them leverage and turn that into a business that can replace their six-figure income. So that's typically who we work with. Now, that could be executive level women, leaders, managers, directors, VP, C-suite. It could be rock star individual contributors who are amazing at what they do and they never wanted to manage people. So that's
Yeah.
typically who we focus on. And then we really, and it's for women who are done climbing the corporate ladder, they're done working in corporate and they know they want a business.
Yeah, so as you say, it's that big leap to that next step, which kind
It
of all
is.
ties together very nicely. And often a big mindset shift must have to come with this as well, because if they don't kind of know what that path looks like to them, like of my understanding, you're kind of helping them find that as well.
100%. So we about half of our clients come to us knowing what they want to do and they just don't know
Awesome.
how to do it. And then the other half, they have no idea what they want to do. They have no idea what business they want to start. They just know they can't stay where they're at. They can't stay
Yeah.
in corporate. And so they're like, "Help me figure this out. What's my path?" And we have some women who essentially take their corporate identity and then create that as a business, you know, your consultants, your coaching, your advisors. And then we have other women who do a pivot. They're like, "I never loved this work. I want to do something else that really lights me up."
Love it. So very much understanding and leaning into their skill set must be a big part of that as well, as you say,
It's
like we
huge.
can get that going. So Sarah, what is your like style of coaching? How is it you get in and help these women?
Great question. I would say so. We have a group coaching program, and half the program is based on the business strategy. You do need fundamentals on who you're focused on, your sales, your marketing, your pricing, your business model strategy. Like that's just, you need that.
Yeah.
And the other half is all on mindset. So it is the identity shift that you just mentioned, Olivia, right? Like going from employee for your entire life to now, oh my goodness, I'm in charge. What does that look like? Shifting that identity for these women is massive. And I underestimated it. What I was doing when I was going through this transition, I completely underestimated it. Mindset shifts, overcoming their fear, their doubt, their limiting beliefs, stories that we've been told since childhood. You know, I grew up with the story that you get good grades, you go to a good school, you get a good job, you work really hard, climb the corporate ladder, and that's the definition of success. And busting through that mindset, and also the reality that that's no longer the stable way anymore. If you want stability, if you want security, it's really building it for yourself.
As you say, so true. And even giving yourself that freedom in life, because corporate can be very draining. We mentioned burnout before, you know, so even adapting that so you're not falling into that same kind of cycle. But I also love the fact that you highlighted there, obviously, the business challenges and the aspects that come with changing, whether it's starting up your own as a founder and taking those next steps. Because a lot of people, especially founders that I speak to, you know, that's their biggest pitfall, because they do just want to live in their zone of brilliance. They want to do what they do and love to do that. But sales and marketing doesn't always come easy to everybody. So I love that you're providing those both sides of it, like the practicality and the mindset shift they need to move on and take those next steps.
Yeah.
And Sarah, I do want to get into the nuts and bolts a little bit of the business.
Sure.
When it does come to marketing and obviously acquiring your own customers, what are you finding most effective at the moment in just finding those right people to work with in terms of like channels or methods?
So I work mostly with Meta, I would say. Like most of my marketing is on Facebook, Instagram, whether it's paid advertising or organic. We work with my clients. They could be doing LinkedIn, they could be doing long form YouTube ads, they could be using Meta. I am a firm believer it's less about the channel. I'm not a huge proponent of one channel or another as a grand wide statement. I think it really depends on the business that you're running and more importantly, your ideal client who you're trying to reach out to. You know, for some businesses, their ideal client lives on LinkedIn. For others, LinkedIn's going to be pointless, you know, and vice versa. I think it's what I am a huge believer, and this is like wide scale, is know who you're focused on. Who are you trying to reach? Know them inside and out. And I would say the biggest The thing that where people go wrong is they think there's this misperception that to build a business online, it's going to take years of marketing, years of putting out tips and tricks and quizzes and chipping away. And that's not true. You don't need years to build a big audience in order to make your six figures. I think when you know really how to dial in your messaging, you're dialing into who specifically you're talking to. You don't need big audiences. You don't need years of building that trust. You can do that much more.
I couldn't agree more. And as you're saying, pinpoint who you want to find, start with that platform, where they're going to be living, where they're going to be paying more attention to, and then running from there. A lot of people, and just to add what you said about the speed of it as well, I feel like that's the big debate at the moment between like paid advertisements or organic outreach. And for me, there's no difference between the two. Paid advertisements are just a very quick way to hit the people you actually want to hit. There's
100%.
no shame, there's no harm, there's nothing malice about running paid ads. If you're doing them well and effectively, they're such a good thing, like a
Yeah.
way to
And
scale a business.
I think the other thing that I didn't touch on, but I think it goes without saying, but it's worth saying, is be authentic. And especially in this world of AI, people are craving that real connection, that real authenticity. They want to know who they're working with. And so I mean, we use AI. We teach our clients how to use AI in the right ways, but using AI for all your marketing, and it doesn't land authentically. And I think that's where a lot of people are leaning too heavily on AI without really thinking, what do I stand for? What's my brand? How do I want to show up? And then leveraging AI to make that sing, but not defaulting to AI as your primary marketing machine.
Absolutely, can agree more. Everyone starts to sound the same. It's very much like, where's the human aspect? Even where's the like, humans make mistakes. Where's the mistake element in that? Where's the recognition? As you say, leaning on AI is very good to enhance what you're doing, or just maybe slight adjustments, but just to rely on it solely to do your marketing and sales aspects is a tricky thing to do. And it is just adding on to the fact that people will see through it and then negotiate your trust at the end of the day as well. You have to have a really nice synergy moving forward. And
That's
so
right.
what does your like team aspect look like at the company as well? So do you have anyone else that is helping you out on the back end of things with such as sales and marketing and just maybe alleviating some of those jobs you don't like doing as a founder?
Great question. And it's so funny because, just like any founder, I started out doing all the jobs, and so now we've been doing this for years. So we do have a couple people in our back end doing administrative and online business support, and then I have a couple of mindset coaches that help me, and two or three salespeople at any given time. So it is. I say we're a small but mighty team, and it's all women who can relate to our message, to our branding. It's women who have worked in corporate and then have left corporate and really, really have a strong passion for helping other women.
Yeah, I love that. So they've all been in that same boat. So they're very much aligned with your mission as well. That's so key and so important to growing your team. Were there any tips that you need for maybe listeners in similar situations to how you went about doing that and just making sure everyone is in line with you moving forward?
I've made so many mistakes, Olivia, like so many s mistakes in terms of building my team. I think one mistake that I made, was hiring for the role now instead of the role that is going to be in 6 to 12 months. And so in many cases, when I look back, and this was especially with my VA or my admin team, I made so many mistakes in the early days under hiring, like hiring for what I needed like 3 months ago instead of where's the business going and hiring for that. So I would like under hire. And that was a function of my own insecurity, like not knowing where I'd go. Well, what if I hire more than I need, or I'm paying more than I need right now? And that was just a function of my own insecurity instead of being more of a visionary. I would say too, getting really, I mean, this is hiring 101 that any manager is going to know, but I think it's worth saying, like, know what you're hiring for. Get really, really clear. And hiring from a place of empowerment and knowing, oh, we've got a great team. We've got a great mission. This is a great role. So hiring, I've passed down, like I've not hired that whole hire slow and fire fast. As an entrepreneur and as a, I like to move fast. It's really tempting to just get someone's seat, get someone in the seat so we can move forward instead of being like, no, but is this the right person for the right seat? And having a sense of, I look at it as abundance thinking, abundance mindset of, it's okay to wait longer to get the right person in the role. Whereas in the past, I would have been like, almost out of desperation. Like, we need someone to help, come, please come to me. I've now realized, no, it's worth waiting for the right person because everything falls.
Yeah, 100%, I couldn't agree more. As you say, if you do just stick to that like bums in seat kind of model, as you say, just filling the role, you can spend in a loop and just like keep replacing and keep hiring for that same role. So it is definitely worth not just investing the time, but even investing the finances and the money to employ someone that is suitable for that role that you can trust moving forward, because it's only going to help the
100%.
business as well. It is very much same boat, same mindset. We'll see that thing fly the whole way through. You don't need little niggles all the way through that. And then with that being said, Sarah, like, what are your intentions for the company? Like, when you think of maybe the next 6 to 12 months, like, what are your goals or the targets that you're hopefully looking forward to achieving?
So right now, I've been, the past several years, I've been really focused on getting the coaching program, our coaching, the coaching arm of our business up and running. And now I feel like whether we are at the tipping point or I feel like the market as it is at a tipping point. Olivia, you will probably be able to resonate with this. You might be seeing the same thing, but I'm seeing more and more women wanting to leave corporate. I'm seeing more women just with COVID was a really hard time for so many people and also a gift for many working moms that they got to work from home. Now, granted, online school, online schooling is another thing and teaching kids from home, but we saw so many more flexibilities for working moms or women taking care of aging parents that right now a lot of those flexibilities are being pulled back, and we're still seeing companies now, 3 years after, 3, 4 years after COVID, now are mandating going back to the office, and it's becoming less and less sustainable for a lot of working women, and especially I would say working moms and, like I said, women who are taking care of aging parents. It's not sustainable, and so we're seeing massive, massive comments on burnout. Also, the corporate landscape is changing. With the economic times right now, there are a lot of companies going off on going through mass layoffs, going through attrition, going through RIFs. And they're expecting more from the employees that are still there. So whether the people are being laid off, and a lot of those are women in middle management, and even the ones that are left are expected to do way more with fewer resources. And again, it's not sustainable. This is where women are having health crises, they're having marriage crises, they're having, trouble with their kids because they're not being able to be present because they're expected to do so much at work. So I'm seeing a movement right now where a lot of women are waking up, and especially in their 40s and 50s. You talk to women going through perimenopause, they're like, I don't have time for this, like enough is enough. And they're choosing freedom, they're choosing alignment, they're choosing authenticity over that old paradigm of get a good job, work really hard, and that's the definition of success. I've seen more and more women start to redefine what success looks like. And so you asked me, what does our business look like? I want to speak to more of those women, women who don't necessarily need coaching right now, but they need some inspiration on what is possible.
Love that. And I definitely said I agree with you 100%. I kind of alluded to it at the start of the podcast, where it is since COVID, it did open a lot of people's eyes as to what their life could look like, a little bit freedom they can have, but they're not just a number on the sheet. And since then, people have doubled down. It's got worse because, yes, they had to make up for the lapse in COVID, but you can't give people that kind of inkling of freedom and inkling of like, oh, we can actually do the same work from this situation and then take it all back. Because that's kind of that process you're in. And especially, as you say, that age group of 40 to 50 year olds, even slightly younger, maybe 35, going through
Or
those.
even older. I hear from women who are in their early 60s that they're like, people are telling me to retire and I've got so much left. Like, I'm not ready to just, go out to pasture.
And it's going through those other transitions that come naturally come with life, as you say, family, friends, kids, even your own health. As you hit menopause, it is just a lot that's going on, and you kind of think, is it worth it? Do I need to take the step back and kind of reevaluate everything? And don't get me wrong, for a lot of people, highlight the other thing. It's like, no, I want to get back into work. That is where I belong. I live in the office. So it just clarity on both sides is what I think people need most in the moment in the world.
100%.
And probably, Sarah, where are you finding the biggest challenge for yourself at the moment in taking those next steps in the business?
I think the biggest challenge for us are the headlines that are dominating the media. So I would say in the last year or two, and in the online marketing space, we hear the term trust recession a lot. I would say that's really been a challenge over the last 2 years, simply because people are inundated. You look at any headlines, if you're following any news channel or magazine or newspaper, it is all about fear, doubt, uncertainty. And I think it makes people really hesitant to change. And that whole paradigm of it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't, people are so afraid because there's so much fear mongering in society right now. They're buckling down. And here's what I want everyone to know. This is a moment. Like, this is a moment. If you are not feeling aligned, if you are feeling like you are being burnt out, or you're working in a toxic work environment and you're being called for something different, whether that's starting your own business or just something different, it's an opportunity to either expand into what's possible, even if it feels unknown and scary, and you're walking into the void, trusting that something's better on the other side, or you get to contract. And I think with so much fear mongering in the headlines right now, the fear, the doubt, the uncertainty, people are contracting out of fear, and it's holding them back from what's possible.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think the biggest thing I want to add to that is that people often forget that you're scared the first time you do everything. And it is just living a little bit in fear, living a bit uncomfortably for a little bit to then take those bigger steps. But it is just getting over that fear factor. As you say, scaremongering is global at the moment. So it is just living a little bit uncomfortable until you become comfortable. And Sarah, there's one final question to you before we log out. So if you could go back in time to a younger self and you could only leave yourself with one piece of advice moving forward, something you know now, but that you didn't know back then, what would you say to yourself?
Olivia, that just makes me emotional thinking about it. It would be listen to that voice inside your head and trust it. I think so often we're told to listen to other people or the voices outside of our own head, you know, whether it's society or our parents or our coaches or our teachers, our religious teachers, their voice gets really, really loud and we forget to trust.
I love that. And what a great way to end the podcast. And Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing your incredible journey and insight with us. Where can our listeners reach out best to work with you or connect with you if they would like
So
to?
the best place is to start with our website, herbigleap.com. We have free resources. We have a free masterclass for any woman thinking about starting their own business. It's absolutely free. Start there. Then if that resonates, then I would encourage you to reach out and look at if it makes sense to work with us. But herbigleap.com is the best place.
Beautiful stuff. And Sarah, thank you again for joining us. I really appreciate your time today. And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to go and check out Sarah, as she said, herbigleap.com. Drop them a message, check out the masterclass. I'm sure they would love to hear from everybody. And do not forget to subscribe to Founders Future by wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And if you are a business owner, specifically a coach, consultant, or agency owner, and you're really looking to scale your business and you want to enhance your sales and marketing efforts, visit closers.io to hop on a call with one of our team and discover how we went from zero to $30 million per year in less years. But until then, keep on climbing and we'll see you on the next one.